Amen. Thank you, Gabrielle. I don't know if you've invited her back next week, Jenny, but I've already invited her and told her we'll feed her lunch if she wants to come and share with us again. Folks, we have officially passed through the Thanksgiving season. We've had our fill of turkey. We've stuffed ourselves with stuffing. And now we begin the celebration and preparing for Christmas. It seems like during this time, there's an excitement that fills the air. You've got the excitement of going and picking out your Christmas tree or putting up your Christmas tree and listening to your favorite Christmas carols. You've got the excitement anticipating getting to spend time with friends and family in celebration. You've got that excitement that comes with Christmas goodies. I know you're all thinking about your favorite Christmas treats, those cookies, those cakes. At our house, it's those Little Debbie Christmas tree cookies. They come in the box, and they go so fast that Melanie, in fact, will buy an extra box and hides it because the story boys just take them out so quick. Now, there's one thing that I find myself being excited about, and I'm going to be honest. When it comes to all things Christmas, I'm usually the Christmas Scrooge. It takes a lot for me to get excited about Christmas. Usually, instead of singing Joy to the World, I say, Bah, humbug. But this year, what I'm excited about, it's big. It's probably the biggest thing that has made its way to Shelby, even bigger than liver mush. Carolina Christmas. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody know? Manny's shaking his head, no. Well, we're going to go, Manny. All right. North Post Road, Challenge 3, the old Challenger 3. It's now Oak Mills Fun Park. They are converting the golf course into a Christmas village. They've built this covered bridge, and they've built this barn, and they've got Christmas lights all over it. They've got Christmas lights all over the entire area. It is Griswold level, folks. I read an article in the paper. There's over 300,000 Christmas lights, and I noticed it just little by little as I was going back home each night as it was dark, and you'd see a few lights that were turned on. And the next night, there'd be more and more. And as you drive by there, please go slowly because people are going to be stopped in the road looking at all the lights. Needless to say, I'm excited about Christmas lights. And right now, Manny and I, we're going to be the first ones to head out there, I can already tell you. But whether it's Christmas lights or Christmas tree cakes or just 24 hours of watching Hallmark Christmas movies, there's something that we find exciting about Christmas. Now, our excitement and our happiness are sometimes tied just to certain experiences, getting to see over 300,000 Christmas lights. But our joy comes from something that is deeper, that is longer lasting, an eternal source. And so today, as we begin our Advent season, a time where we prepare for the celebration of Christmas, the anticipation of Christ coming, I want us to all begin this season with joy in our hearts, to prepare our hearts to celebrate Christ. And so, in order to do that, you've noticed that our theme this year is Joy to the World, Let Heaven and Nature Sing. And so I ask for y'all to humor me. I'm going to invite you to sing along with me. I'm glad that Carson has already set the bar pretty high here. We're going to sing that first line of Joy to the World, the Lord has come. All right, are you ready? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. No, we're just stopping right there. I'm glad that y'all continued on because I was already committed just to stopping right there. It takes a lot for me to try to sing in front of folks. I was really nervous, and I'll be honest, I didn't really feel the joy there. I didn't have a lot of joy as I was trying to sing that verse. You know, sometimes we sing out of our joy and we wonder, then how can we sing about joy when we don't feel joy in our hearts? And as Carson told the children, when our hearts aren't smiling, when they're not filled with joy, then how can we find ourselves singing about joy? How can we sing joy to the world when we look around the world and see a lot of pain and grief and a lot of hopeless people that are struggling in the darkness? How can we sing of joy? Or how can we sing about joy when we look at our own world, we look at our own circumstances, and Christmas just reminds us that, you know, there's a family member that is gone. Or we look at our own health and the struggles that we're facing, or we are reminded that we have an uncertain future, or whatever worry might be there. How can we sing about joy when we face something that is unknown? Sometimes we have to work to find our joy. Sometimes we have to dig deep. Sometimes we have to look below the surface to experience that true joy. The prophet Isaiah, he shares a word of hope to the people who saw a world of helplessness around them. The Hebrews had suffered famine, had experienced war, had been taken off into exile. They were a hopeless bunch of people. And so the prophet Isaiah, he offers them up a vision, words of hope and encouragement. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. We're looking at Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. As chief among the mountains, it'll be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is a very familiar passage in Isaiah, a prophecy proclaiming what God's going to do in the future. How do we proclaim what God's going to do in the future? Do we proclaim God? Are we proclaiming the joy and the hope that we can experience this Christmas season in Christ? Those words of hope helped the people envision God again. It gave them a plan. It gave them a direction. As I read in the NIV, it says the last days, but in other translations, it says in days to come. So whether it's way far off or just in a few days around, we have words of hope that bring us comfort. The prophet Isaiah gives them these encouraging words to help them to see below the surface. When they look around and their future looks so bleak, they can see hope and they can find hope. It may be tough now, but in days to come, they're going to see God's house elevated high up on the mountain. Then people will begin to travel, to journey to this place, a holy place. Pilgrimage is a journey to a holy place. This is not a sightseeing trip. We are traveling to that holy manger. And we're not going to be stopping off just to see Christmas lights, but we journey with a purpose to find that hope. This is what Advent season is all about, a purposeful journey to Christians, to Bethlehem, to celebrate the birth of Christ, to remember all that God has blessed us with. Is this our purpose for the Christmas season? Are we taking this holy journey, this pilgrimage to Bethlehem to celebrate Christ's birth? If you look in the book of Psalms, when we did our study this past fall, we learned that there are 15 psalms that are called songs of ascents, beginning Psalm 120 and then proceeding afterwards. These are psalms that were either recited, read, or probably most likely they were sung. They were all short in nature, so they're able to easily be memorized. And as the Hebrew people, as the Jews, would embark on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, the holy city, they would sing these songs of praises. Their hearts were filled with joy because they were journeying with a purpose. They were heading in a direction to Jerusalem, to that holy mountain. For them, it was where God was, where they would be able to go and experience and worship God. And so they embarked on this pilgrimage. And as Christians, this is what Advent season is all about. We begin on the pilgrimage, heading to that holy manger, singing songs of praises of all that God has blessed us with. I recently read an article about mycorrhiza. It was about a botanist who had studied the special mycorrhiza fungi, and the botanist was named Merlin Sheldrake, which makes you think this is a made-up article, but it's not. I checked. It was over in England in the Epping Forest, and Merlin has studied these fungi mushrooms. They grow on the forest floors. And what they found out is that as they grow, they send out these hyphae, which are very fine tubes that weave into the dirt and soil, and then they connect up with the roots of their neighboring plants and trees. And as a result, these individual plants and trees and mushrooms are all now connected by this underground network. Some have termed this network as the wood wide web. They say that this has been going on for a while. I would argue it's been going on since creation. And now these trees and these plants, they're all joined together, and they benefit from these connections. The mushrooms, they siphon off food from the trees, carbon-rich sugar produced during photosynthesis. The plants get nutrients such as phosphorus and nitrogen that the fungi absorbs from the soil. And this is a network that's more about just exchanging food. It also allows the plants and the trees, because of this network, to exchange resources. So if there's an older tree that has reached the end of its life cycle, it can pass on its resources through this network. Or if there's a younger tree that happens to be growing under a shady canopy and is struggling, it can get resources passed to it from older, bigger trees. And it's not just these resources that are shared. It also, through this network, they can warn others. If there's an insect that's going to come to damage the trees or the plants, they can let them know and they raise their defenses. All this is going on right below the surface. Picture an image of a forest. When we see that, we no longer see just individual plants and trees and these mushrooms that are there, but it's a connected organism, a community. I invite you a moment just to imagine yourself in a forest. And for many of us, this is a peaceful place where we are able to take hikes, where we go to see just the beauty of the forest and God's creation that's around. And so it can be a time of praise, a time of solitude. But also there's times when we're in the forest where that sun goes down and it can appear dark. It can feel cold and hard and rocky. It can feel like a place that we don't want to be. It can seem hopeless for some. But then if you dig deeper below the surface, you realize that you're not alone in the darkness, but you're connected to your neighbors, to your community. There's hope knowing that we're not alone in this journey, in this pilgrimage. But as Christians, we are connected to Christ, and through our relationship with Christ, we're connected with other believers. When the sun shines, we're all connected and we experience the joy. When it's cold and dark, we feel the pain and sorrow. But there's still joy. We're still connected to Christ and connected to our faith and our community. You may have noticed that we've got our Advent devotional book. And just this morning, I was reading the first Sunday of Advent, news like no other. The scripture was Matthew 1:23. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him and name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In devotion, it shares, a friend was once asked, How does God love me? He thought about that for a while and then said, I guess through me, God loves you. Deep within all of us is this longing to love and be loved, to know that someone cares and will never leave or forsake us. We celebrate this season because we're not alone, because we are connected to God through Christ. But at the same time, we have this image of this forest, of this underground network. Through Christ, we are connected to other Christians. And so whether it's a joyful occasion that we find ourselves in, that we're happy and that we're excited, that we can celebrate that with others, they're there to celebrate with us. Or whether we find ourselves struggling, looking for hope in difficult times, we're not alone. We're connected to our neighbors, to our community around us. How does God love me? I guess through me, God loves you. My prayer for us all is to look past the excitement of the Christmas season, to dig deep below the surface, to see the true joy of Christmas, to see, to do what we need with our lives, to prepare rooms in our heart for Christ, to experience joy, to know peace, to slow down during this busy Christmas season, to be reminded that we are on this pilgrimage to that holy manger, and to take time to let others know that God loves them through us. One of the illustrations that Carson shared with the children is just to remind us that our hands, our hearts, our eyes, we're all open to share Christ with others. We all know that hope as believers, but there's many out there who don't know it, and it's up to us to share that with them. Let that be our challenge today. Will you pray with me? God, as we open up ourselves today, you know what is in each of our hearts. For some of us, our hearts are filled with just the busyness of the Christmas season, with the worries and anxiety from school, from work, from family, from whatever challenges that we may face, Lord. And they can be heavy burdens. God, I pray that you allow each and every one of us to give those burdens to you today, so that we may open up our hearts to prepare room for Christ, so that we can experience the joy. Whatever we need to do, Lord, to dig deep, to go below the surface, I pray, God, that you will help us. I pray, God, that you will use each and every one of us here to do something today, to do something this week, this month, to share that joy with others in need, to be your shining light. We ask these things through Christ's name. Amen. We continue our worship.